Coming up on TMSPM, what happened at BlizzCon for reals?
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you give your 2 cents worth?
I hope so. App time.
Dan, the tabletop man, and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to TMS PM. That's right, the PM edition of the TMS show, short for the morning stream. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett, who's right over there. Hello, Brian.
That's right. This show is made for the Prime Meridian people.
That's fantastic. The PM.
Yes. The PM.
P.
PMP.
PMP.
Are you down with PMP?
You know me. Anyway, we're glad to be here. It's Friday, November 9th, 2018. The month of November already skipping quite briskly.
Yeah. Post-Meridian?
Post-Meridian?
Post-Meridian, Prime Meridian.
Post-Meridian. Post-Meridian? I don't know.
Now that I say that out loud, it's like Prime Meridian is like a geographic line. Post-Meridian is PM, is afternoon.
For Dan, it's Putrid Meeple. That's what it stands for. Putrid.
This is true.
Meeple. Anyway, Dan, like we said, will be here later. Very excited to have him back today. we're going to see if we can. I'm going to try to conjure up a good question about the pharmaceutical world as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Plus, he'll have recommendations for board games, which I know makes sense to nobody listening for the first time. You're like, what the hell is that even about? He's a pharmacist and quite the professional one at that. And he loves board games and tabletop games. So
that's right.
He brings both those things to us.
Why he hasn't started a show called Drugs and Gaming, Drugs and Tabletop Gaming, I don't know why. Like, what is the best medication to take when you play Carcassonne? What is the best over-the-counter thing you can buy right before a long game of Settlers of Catan?
Well, maybe he can answer this for us now. Like, Dan, if you're in the chat, well, he is in the chat.
He is right in the there. Chat, yep.
If you have an answer to that question, Brian's
inquiring minds want to know.
Yes, that kind of question. I can't say words today. Then let us know. Oh, he says Xanax. Xanax is the drug of choice if you're playing.
There you go,
that.
Xanax for Settlers of Xanax.
Oh, great.
Xanax of Catan.
Yeah, don't take too much of it though. Xanax can kick your butt. It's highly addictive if you keep taking it. Anyway, it's good to be here, and we're gonna just do a show for you. Now, I mentioned at the top of the show the real story behind BlizzCon. Brian and I have talked plenty about BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. On Monday, we had all. Like wrap up, and it took over the news segment and everything. We just talked about it until our faces were blue, and that was fine. It all worked out good, and you guys got the good skinny from us. However, if you were looking for hard hitting gamer level dissection of what BlizzCon was, what they announced, what it means, what it doesn't mean, what was good, what was bad, all that stuff, and even a whole lot more, there is a 2-hour episode of The Instance that went up today. And we talk about everything, World of Warcraft, of course, but we talk about that weird Diablo mobile game.
No, I think from now on, we call that game Diablo.
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 You got the Diablo mobile game. Check that out. And while you're at it, we talked about Warcraft 3 Reforged, and what a surprise that was. It was pretty cool.
I cannot wait to get that.
Yeah, me too.
It's weird because I've got Warcraft 3.
Sure.
You know, I can play that anytime I want, but man, there was something about getting back in there and creating those units you can just call up with a single press of a number key, like Control 1 for this group with with Arthas in it, and then Control 2 for the secondary group that I have going around and busting up houses, and then Command 0 or Control 0 for the barracks, so that I can just instantly click that 0 and get to the barracks and create some more units.
And
it's just so great.
And have it look real good. That's the thing.
Yes.
Look like a brand new game. Gorgeous. Does not look even like a remaster. It looks like a new game.
No. Looks like a new game.
It's very exciting. My only complaint was not really a complaint because it already existed, but I forgot in these games when you're right-clicking a lot kind of spastically the way I do in Heroes of the Storm and other RTSs. Back in the day, they didn't expect you to do that so much. When you do that with Arthas, he goes, for the light, I'm going. For the light, I'm going. For the light. Like, he's just constantly talking every time you click, which is pretty funny.
Yeah,
but,
that's totally true.
Worth checking out. But anyway, we talk about that. We talk about the Hearthstone announcements. We talk about the Overwatch stuff. All of it, top to bottom.
Who was your rogues gallery today?
Full show. We had me, Patrick, Garrett, Terpster. Terpster showed up about halfway through. He's sick as a dog, apparently. Worse than you, even.
Mm. Oh, really? Maybe I know who to blame now.
Maybe if he hadn't rubbed his crotch all over your back, you'd have been fine. But no, he's sick. He sounded real bad. And he listened to half the show and then was like, I got to jump in here. So he called in a little late and sounded terrible. But it was good. We got some good perspective. And
and why have Patrick on, really? I mean, come on.
Yeah, he left early anyway. I guess the baby's crying. He thinks he's being a good dad or something. Just kidding. He really is being a good dad. But it was great. And I think people should listen to it and check it out. That's over at theinstance.net or frogpants.com, however you get it. You're probably already getting it, but I would highly recommend it. All right. Yes. Brian, you went and saw a movie my wife saw and loved. Tell me if you liked it.
Just saw a film set in a seat inside a theater.
Yeah.
And put my feet up on the recliner.
Oh, that doesn't rhyme at all. It's close.
It doesn't at all. No. I did not prepare that at all. I easily could have.
Okay.
Saw Bohemian Rhapsody, which is the story of, I didn't realize this. It's the story of Queen. Did you know that, Scott? Did you know it's about Queen?
I did know that. It's got the Rami Malek in it. He's Mr. Robot there. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
The Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
Or I guess little Mr. Robot.
Yeah, I guess
Mr. Robot Jr.
Yeah, Robot Jr. we call him. I hear he's amazing. That's the one thing everybody, no matter if they like the movie as a whole or not, or, you know, came away fair to middling on the movie or loved it or hated it, they all say Rami Malek is like a amazing in this. Is that true?
Yeah, he's really, really good. Boy, first off, I mean, probably the thing I liked most about this, the casting was superb.
Mm.
Rami Malek is great, and he makes a great Freddie Mercury. I'll talk a little bit about that in a second, but my God, the dudes they got to play John Deacon and Brian May.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking, all right, well, you know, right from the get-go, you see the dudes playing Brian May, and it's like, oh my God, did they shave off some skin from the actual Brian May and create a clone, a younger clone? Because this dude not only had the look,
yeah,
and you know, putting that little curly fro thing on any dude doesn't instantly make him Brian May. This guy had the look, but he also had the mannerisms. I saw Roger Taylor and Brian May tour with Adam, what's his face from American Idol, Adam Lambert.
Oh, Lambert.
A couple of years ago. And
Brian
May did a lot of talking to the audience and stuff. And man, the dude has his mannerisms down. And I was originally writing off the guy who played John Deacon. I was like, all right, well, John Deacon, you know, everybody remembers Freddie Mercury. And then you definitely remember Brian May. Mm. And you might remember Roger Taylor. But when you're thinking about Queen, the quiet one, you know, the George Harrison of Queen was John Deacon, really quiet guy. And he got the character got some screen time, and he was really good. And there were times when it was like, my God, it's like they lifted him right off the back cover of the game, the album, The Game.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Did you feel like did Brian May in this movie ever once just look off and go, I'm going to study space one day? Did he ever do that?
Well, yeah, it comes up a lot because they all met in college, and Brian May was already studying space. He was already an astrophysics engineer.
Because he got his PhD later, though, right after the band.
He did go back and get his PhD later, and Roger Taylor was going to be a dentist, and John Deacon, I think, was going to be an electrical engineer.
Wow.
And Freddie Mercury worked at Heathrow.
Heathrow Airport. What did he do there? Was
Heathrow
he
airport.
Baggage?
He was getting bags off of the belt.
Sweet. I love that. That's great. Yeah,
if that's what, you know, again, that is probably the second thing I'll talk about here is the history is a little bit, they play a little fast and loose with the chronology of events.
All right.
We all know Freddie Mercury contracted AIDS and it's what ultimately killed him.
Yeah.
The timing of when that's revealed in the movie is way earlier than the actual time that it actually was revealed.
Oh.
When he was diagnosed, I should say, not when it was revealed to us, but actually the point at which he was diagnosed with AIDS.
Yeah.
They show a tour montage. This is such a pedantic, like, fan of Queen would complain about this, but really, why bother complaining about it? But they have a montage early on when they're doing their first U.S. tour, and the background music or the music that they're showed playing in concert is Fat Bottom Girls, which came out, they were touring for their second album. Fat Bottom Girls came out on their seventh album.
Oh, that would drive me crazy. I would have been driven crazy if I knew that.
Kind of did. It's like, no, there was never a point for Fat Bottom Girls where Freddie Mercury didn't look more like the later Freddie Mercury. Didn't have his mustache yet, but it was the slightly getting more into leather and less out of the Harlequin dancer look out of I had a little problem with the lip syncing. Now, what was really cool about this is that all the audio that you hear, all the music that you hear, is actual Queen recordings, and some of them are live recordings, the unreleased Live Aid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's never been released on
an
album.
That's supposed to be like the best performance they ever did, right, or something like that.
It is.
Yeah,
it is easily one of the best. Performances. I think probably the best performance. That was one I absolutely remember watching on TV back in 1984, 85, whenever it was.
Yeah.
But there are times where the lip syncing just isn't quite in sync, and it's mostly to do with Rami Malek. And I don't want to fault the guy because his acting, his portrayal of Freddie Mercury as being this flamboyant, over the top guy, gay or not, just Freddie Mercury was
gay
always on.
Gay or not, he was always
gay
on.
Or not. Yeah. Like at the point that Freddie realized he was gay,
yeah.
You know, prior to that, the dude was still flamboyant and over the top and turned up to 11.
When he'd toss somebody's luggage on the ground and it would break at the airport, would he go, another one bites the dust or what?
Exactly. Yeah. Right, exactly.
All right, great.
But there were times that it felt like they had given Rami Malek his fake Freddie Mercury teeth,
yeah,
about 2 minutes before they said action, because it doesn't look like he's comfortable with them. Like if I were the director, I would have given him those teeth and had him just live with them for 2 or 3 weeks before we started filming so that he got comfortable with them. It's almost like he wasn't sure if he could wrap his upper lips over the top of them or
That's so funny that they did that. I mean, did later in the movie?
Borderline when you get one of those plastic sets of fangs, those little plastic sets that fold, right? Mm-hmm. And you put them in your mouth, mm-hmm, and you slobber all over the place because it inhibits your ability to keep your mouth saliva free.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
A little bit like that.
Yeah, that overbite, man. Did it seem like it got better as the movie went on? Like he had less of a hard time wearing them or?
It was throughout the film, and that just speaks to the fact that they may have recorded or shot these scenes in
a different order,
maybe to get, you know, let Remy grow a mustache, a big cheesy mustache, and right, then shave it off for the earlier Freddie Mercury scenes, or right, grow his hair out longer, that sort of thing.
Sure. But, well, when he gets in that like tight wife beater tank top thing, and then gets out there on the stage, it's uncanny.
It really is. He looks just like him. And that throughout the whole film, even the A Night at the Opera, Day at the Races era Freddie Mercury, they nail it. They nail the look out of all of them. Mm-hmm. Roger Taylor just, you know, they just found some dude with blonde hair and said, you're going to be Roger Taylor.
Yeah. It's kind of like the zombies in the background of Walking Dead. The ones up front, you have to be really, really detailed with the makeup so it doesn't look cheesy. But the ones way in the back and the big movement coming across the street, they're just like touched up with a little bit of makeup to make their eyes look a little dark and stuff. Like they don't do anything with them. It's kind of like that. He's a zombie in the back. Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of that, by the way, one of the previews was for the new Clint Eastwood film, The Mule.
Yeah.
The first shot is Clint Eastwood lifting up the hood and you're kind of looking up at him. And I got Tina laughing during the previews by saying, "Oh my God, they're making a Walking Dead film."
Yeah. He's like 1,000 now or something, right?
He is. Yeah. You know, I still wouldn't mess with him. There's still no way I'd pick a fight with Clint Eastwood.
No.
Still...
I might try to fight his stupid son, but I wouldn't fight Clint Eastwood. but the other one, Steve or Scott Eastwood, is it? What is it? Whatever it is.
Oh, Scott Eastwood. Yeah, right.
He's a weenie.
Sorry. Yeah. Anyway.
I say that.
No, it's good. If you're a Queen fan, you've probably already seen it, but I'd say still rush out and see it, especially while there's still good-sized audiences, because you'll subconsciously find yourself kind of singing along with the music, whether you do it out loud or not.
Yeah.
You can't help it. You know? Hammer to Fall comes on and it's like, here we stand, you know, you'll start getting into it.
Yeah.
And I think if you're even a passing Queen fan, it's probably worth seeing in the theaters. It's something you can rent. I mean, yeah. There's an amazing sweeping tracking shot that comes in above Wembley Stadium, flies down, settles in over the crowd, flies over the crowd, and then goes to the stage. And it's like, that is an amazing CGI.
Probably a drone, right? Wouldn't you say?
No. Absolutely was CGI.
Really?
Because I don't think they certainly couldn't have gotten that many extras for...
Oh, you think they filled the crowd in with CG?
I think they filled the crowd in with CG. Maybe they flew, maybe they flew a drone in and did that shot. Mm-hmm. But even then, I mean, the stage, there's the Live Aid stage was taken apart a few days after the event. So, Mike Myers. So, the previews where they have the guy who's saying, it's a song, it's like 6 bloody minutes long. I didn't realize that was Mike Myers in like his British makeup.
Oh, he's in this. What?
He's in this. And you see him in the previews. Like him in that shot in the previews where he's talking about the length of Bohemian Rhapsody, saying it's never going to be a single. And I didn't realize it until like a few lines in. I'm like, oh my God, that's Mike freaking Myers.
That's great. Cause he did Wayne's World 1 was all about doing that in the car with Bohemian Rhapsody and that whole scene. With him and exactly. Garth singing in the car.
He was responsible for Bohemian Rhapsody becoming hitting the charts a third time.
Yeah.
Like it hit the charts a second time when Freddie died and then hit the charts a third time when Wayne's World came out.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. Well, that's cool. I had no idea he was in that. I like that. Yeah. I like that kind of cameo. Yeah. I thought he was too busy doing the Gong Show thing or whatever.
The Maitland. What's the character's name on the Gong Show? Maitland, Curtis Maitland, or something like that? Kerstapel Verhoeven.
I don't know. Something like that. I've never seen that thing, not even once.
Bagheera says, did you notice U2 passing Freddy's? He took the Live Aid stage. I saw that there was a band coming down off the stage, and I couldn't tell that was U2, but now that you say that, that was the 1985 era Bono with his own goofy afro thing.
But it wasn't Bono, right? It was somebody else playing him. Okay.
Yeah, just somebody playing him.
That'd be cool.
It's funny, too. Also, in an early shot, they have Bob Geldof. And they have actual footage of Bob Geldof. Who is he sitting? Oh, he was sitting with Princess Di and Chuck, Prince Charles, Chuck and Di.
Chuck and Di.
But then they later on have an actor come in and play Bob Geldof. Again, another actor who just looks exactly like Bob Geldof.
Really?
1980s era Bob Geldof, yeah.
Wow. All right.
Anyway, it's really, really good.
I'm gonna see it then. Do you think a non-fan, but someone who maybe is okay with biopics about bands and stuff, they'd still like it? You don't have to be a Queen fan.
Okay. I think so. I mean, I think you don't realize how much of a fan of Queen you are until you see this film, and then you're like, oh yeah, I forgot that song. Oh, I love that song. Oh yeah, that's a great one too. And we had one person with our group. It was me and Uncle George and Aunt Barb, and then. His daughter Maddie and Maddie's boyfriend Eric.
Yeah.
Eric was not a massive Queen fan like all the rest of us were, and Tina went, of course.
Right.
But he even came out of it saying, "Wow, I didn't know what to expect from that, and I really, really liked it." Yeah. So,
well, I need to see it. I love Queen, so why wouldn't I see it? The chat room reminds us that
don't
kid
talk about Flash Gordon at all, though.
I know, right? No Flash. we're gonna save all of us. John Deacon is played by the little kid from Jurassic Park.
I just saw that. No way.
Yeah,
like
my wife, when they came home the other day, they told me this, and I forgot to mention it. They said, dude, you won't believe who's in this. I'm like, who? And they showed me this picture. I'm like, I know who that is. Who is that? And they said, it's the little kid from Jurassic Park that gets shocked on the fence. And sure enough.
Joseph Mazzello. Mm-hmm. Holy cow.
Yeah. He's been in some other stuff, too. I want to say he was in some HBO thing I watched, and I remember going, oh, my gosh.
The Pacific.
That's what it was.
Social Network. Yeah, The Pacific.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Oh, dude, I looking at this guy right now, it's like, yeah. I mean, I'd look at him and say, God, that guy could play John Deacon if they ever do a Queen biography.
Well, good casting, then. Well done, guys. Nice job. And that kid's cool. The Pacific's awesome. I love that. Oh, and guess who else was in the Pacific, by the way? Rami Malek was in the Pacific. So.
Oh, really? Okay, so they knew each other back then. Yeah. That's funny. I've never seen the Pacific.
You should. It's good. It's like
It's in the Atlantic. I figure it looks the same.
No, it's not.
Once you're out in the middle of it, it's all.
Turns out they were blowing up that place in specifically. Anyway, well, that's great. Nice. I'm gonna go see it. That's a good rousing review from you. It's somewhere in the 60s on Rotten Tomatoes, which isn't, you know.
It's not, you know, stellar. I don't think we're gonna see Oscar. I don't think we're gonna see any Academy Award nominations for it.
Hmm.
You know, maybe one for Rami Malek, but they've got to get past the him slurping over his big teeth.
His big goofy teeth.
You know, like if the Academy could get over the ASMR of Rami Malek going.
Oh, gross. Not sure I can now that you say it that way.
No, there's no noise. I think this weekend, Tina, I can also try and see that Bad Times at the El Cajon or whatever the thing is. I can remember it's a movie about a little motel, but I can't remember any of the title, whatever it's
Jeff
called.
Jeff Bridges, Chris Hemsworth, bunch of real good actors.
John Hamm.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things. Nick saw it with some friends and came home and said, Dad, that's the coolest movie. You got to go see it. So cool. I want to see it. It looks really good. A little Tarantino in there. A little.
Yep. El Royale. That's it. Yes. Yeah. Bad Times at El Royale High.
At El Royale High. Orders a pizza. Teacher's pissed.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. Seen it.
Well, Mr. Hamm, if you're here and I'm here, doesn't that make it our time?
Still think it's that's a great movie. It's great watching.
I do too.
Did the Coen Brothers thing happen this weekend on Netflix, the Ballad of Buster Scruggs? I think that's out.
I don't know.
I'm going to watch that and recommend it next Wednesday. That's what I'm going to do.
I do know that the sixth season of British Bake Off just landed on Netflix. So that's going to be our palate cleanser after we finish these last few episodes of Hill House.
Yeah. You got to get to the end and tell me what you think. That ending episode was something else.
I can't wait. I'm sure I'm going to love it.
Still
I have no doubt.
Still not sure how to make. I'm still making sense of it, but you should watch it. And you will.
Cool.
Let's see. No, Ballad of Buster Scruggs is November 16th, next Friday. Okay. I knew it was soon. There's some reviews out already, and they're all glowing. Very excited about it. This is that Coen Brothers movie that's straight to Netflix and theaters the same night. So it's a Netflix production in movie theaters, but it's also on Netflix the same day. I'm watching it here because I ain't going to the theater for that.
Nice.
And it looks really good. So I'm very excited about it. Ooh, they captured you out. They captured you slurping.
Yeah, they kept that slurp noise that I was making.
Let's see.
And now they want you to play it.
I'm going
to
play it. Here it comes.
Or of Rami Malek going.
Oh, gross. That's good stuff. Well done, guys. All right. We're going to do this, and then we're going to call Dan. What are we going to do? We're going to do this. This right here. Where's my phone? There it is.
It's
you're really raising the roof over there for a second.
Heck, that's right.
I like that.
I'm at about 99%. I sound a little congested or a little, you know.
You sound
still
a lot
like
better.
I've got maple syrup in my sinuses, but other than that, I feel great.
You sound great. You sound way better. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Terpster sounded so bad, it made you sound totally whole.
Totally whole.
Totally
that's
whole.
My Courtney Love biopic.
Really? That's my Portland Donut Company I'm going to launch. That's what I'm going to do.
Totally whole.
Totally whole. And all you get is the whole. You're not going to get the other kind. Yeah. Other stuff.
Right.
All right. Let's get into it here. So I am going to recommend an app/game that I think I brought up on the show, but I didn't review proper or talk about in this segment because we didn't have a PM last week. The game that got me, the mobile game that got me through the flights and any downtime I had, like at airports and stuff like that on our trip, was Stardew Valley.
Oh, okay, sure.
Now,
which you haven't, I don't think you've recommended this on.
No, it's too new. I don't think we've had a show yet for it.
Yeah.
It's a game, I played the version on PC, so this isn't entirely new to me. So I had a whole bunch of playtime on that, so I kind of knew what I was getting into. What I liked about it when it was announced for mobile is that it's a fully premium experience. It's $8, just straight up, pay $7.99, get the damn game. There's no microtransactions, no timers, none of this stuff. I mean, there's timers, part of the gameplay, but it's nothing you can circumvent with paying your way to win or whatever. It's just a straight up port of the game Stardew Valley. Now, I'm going to argue all versions of this are good. If you have a PlayStation 4 version, you got the Xbox version, good versions of Stardew Valley. I'm not telling you something you already know. They're fine. PC version's fine. This is not on Android yet. It's coming, though. Just so you know, it's iOS only for now for a quick moment. I think this is the premier platform for it. I think mobile is the best place for it because
I can pick
it up, play it. There's no weird controls. It's just point and click and grab a thing and do a thing. And you don't have to do, you don't need virtual joysticks or any of that stuff that usually drives people crazy. This game doesn't mess with any of that. And so if you're looking for that kind of Animal Crossing slash Harvest Moon sort of experience on the go, I think it's perfect for the format. You can play it offline. You don't have to have a constant internet connection. You just play it when you want to play it. And there's even a way, and I didn't do it. I didn't try it to see if it would work for me. But apparently you can import your PC save.
Oh, really? So if you've been playing this already, then you can...
Yeah. I don't know how, and I didn't look up very much on how to do it, but apparently that's a possible thing to do. Whether it's also now exportable the other direction, I have no idea. But it is a super cool rendition of the game, and I got really far in it on those flights and in those airports. Part of it is I think I finally understand... I used to have this thing. So the way the game works, Brian, is you have a day-night cycle, right? Mm-hmm. And in the day cycle, it's a shortened amount of time. It's not an actual day in real hours. I don't know what it actually ends up being. I could probably find that out. But it's probably like 20 minutes or something. I always try to cram in every possible thing and not go to bed too early in that game. Because it feels weird. Yeah. I feel like I'm doing something wrong if I go to bed and save. And it's only 4 in the afternoon. It just feels weird. But okay. So when I was playing on PC, I was always fighting that. I was just fighting that clock. Like, I can't do that. There's not enough time or whatever. It's not how you have to play it. And I finally let go of that and said, if all I have to do today on this rainy day is go buy some fish bait from so-and-so, give a gift to what's-her-name, come back and make sure those rocks are cleared from that area behind my house. If that's all I have to do, do it by noon and go to bed. It doesn't matter. It doesn't care. The only downside is, well, it's not a downside, but you want to make sure you have renewable crops all the time so that you're maximizing the season. Because when the season's over, anything you were growing dies and you have to plant new stuff for a new season.
That's what I was going to ask. So if I don't play it for a couple days, does everything on my farm die?
No. So there's no real-time clock running at all. If you get out of the game and go do something else,
time begins.
Yeah. It only starts and stops when you're playing. So that's different than, Animal Crossing is different than that, where time's
I don't want to be forced to check in every day, or my crops will die, my pig will eat my wife, whatever. I want to just,
I kind of want to see this scenario play out, though. But yeah, like it's not the kind of thing you have to micromanage in that regard, but the actual gameplay between the sleeps and the saves is just so much you can do. Right now, I'm mining like crazy in the caves and bringing up all kinds of ore, and that ore is letting me build things, and the stuff I'm building is helping me tap like into trees and get sap and then convert it to syrup. And I got a mayonnaise machine. Don't ask me what that's for yet.
Okay.
I got to get eggs first. I have a chicken coop. I have a couple of chickens, but I'm not currently harvesting them because I got to build a silo. Anyway, there's all this stuff to do. And if you like that kind of game, and I'm not saying it's for everybody, and you probably already know, because again, this thing was a huge hit on every platform it's been on, Switch, most recently on the Switch. I think you just can't go wrong, and for $8, it's totally worth it. And
I think I'll pick it up I already bought it, but I think I'll play it mostly on my iPad.
Yeah,
I know it's made for an iPhone screen. It looks fine on iPhone screen, but you know, just that like sitting on the couch watching something.
It'll play great on your iPad. I did it on the Pro as well. And the only problem is that it doesn't have cloud save, and so you can't jump back and forth. I wish you could. If they may add that, these guys are always very active with updates and stuff, so that may get added, some kind of cloud syncing. But as it stands right now, you can't. But I did run it on there to see, and it runs great on the iPad. No problem.
I think that's what Unix Steven just posted in the chat room. He put a link to the wiki where it says
this is the PC
it
how-to.
Saves both ways via iTunes.
iTunes. Hold on.
Yeah.
Okay, Mac.
Open mobile. iTunes on your computer. Attach your iOS device via USB. When iTunes opens, oh my God.
It's a big...
Yeah, copy the documents back and forth. I'll just play it forever on my iPad. That seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, they'll probably do cloud save at some point. So just wait for that. But and start it on the platform you want, and then you'll be able to switch back and forth. But I would really like that feature if they would add it. And I have a feeling they will. But it runs great on both. It looks just fine on the iPad. Looks like a big screen of the same game. I'm a fan. I like it. They've done a really good job here. Android people should get there soon, and I'm excited for them because I think they'll like it as well. And happy are we. All right, Brian, what'd you bring? What do you got there, buddy?
I brought a game, and I put a link to it in the in our show notes there. It's a game called Seesaw. Now, if you're familiar with Philip Stollenmeyer, who has developed games like Sometimes You Die and Bacon the Game, which also had sequels, Pancake the Game and Burger the Game.
Yeah, I love this guy. He does crazy stuff.
Really simplistic styled games. This is a brand new one that just came out 2 days ago, I believe, and it's called Seesaw, C/Saw. And pretty true to the description, you're controlling levels that rock back and forth like a seesaw that you control with your thumbs in the bottom right corners of your mobile device. You've got a little dude that's running around, and that's how he moves, is by you moving, tilting the level back and forth.
Okay.
And you want him to collect the three dots on every level. Every level has three dots. There are three dots. And you want him to go and collect all the dots on the level. Well, those first levels, real easy, right? You just run around, you grab them. There are little bounce platforms that you'll run across, and that'll shoot you up into the air. And as you're in the air, you're like tilting the screen a little bit tilting the playing field so that he goes left or right from that. Mm-hmm. A lot of physics in this. So if he's running and then hits the platform, he'll go. But as you start progressing, you start running into saw blades, and that's where the saw comes into Seesaw. A lot of these rotary saw blades all over the place that you sometimes have to dodge. Sometimes really the object is to die and just have the saw blade fling you into the last dot.
Morbid. That's interesting. I'm looking at it like now. This is so cool looking.
It really is cool looking. It's $2.99. Yeah. I've been having a blast with it today. Bought it this morning in hopes that we were going to do an app slappy. Mm-hmm. And I am just totally digging it. It is such a fun, again, pick up, put down game. 150 levels. And I guess there's a storyline too that I'm kind of part of the way into. I'm about 25 levels in, 30 levels in. Mm-hmm. And totally digging it. It's a great pick up and play game.
Well, is it always in French, or is this someone I'm watching just playing it in French?
You're watching a French version because all the language is in English in the one you get.
And this one does look like both Android and iOS, so good news.
Correct, yes. Yeah. It's in both, and it launched November 7th.
This is interesting because it's using like momentum physics a lot.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Which is really fascinating to me. So if you die... Oh, no, he'd just have to start over. I'm sorry. I was looking at these visually, and I'm like, okay, if you fall down that hole, you're not getting back out of there.
You're not getting, exactly, right. So you want to make sure that, you know, if you've got a place where you're never going to be able to get out, if you get that dot last, and you kind of use the momentum of, like, running up a curved wall to get over that saw and over that dot, it's great. It's a really, really good.
It looks really good. Oh, there's a little jump pad. Oh, that's great.
Yes, right. Those little projectile pads on the bottom when you run across those.
Yeah, they bounce you to the higher areas. That's great.
It's funny. It's a little dude. It's like the little Mr. Ah dude. You remember that game?
Yeah, I remember
that. He's just like this little head and a couple legs, a head, torso, and a couple legs. But man, when he goes into a little saw blade or gets impaled on spikes, it's actually it's kind of heartbreaking.
It's a little shocking and heartbreaking.
Yeah.
All right, I'm picking this up today. This looks like something I could get into. And I love the minimalist design. This is really, really neat.
Yeah.
All right, there it is. So those are your two games. You got Seesaw, C/Saw.
C/Saw.
Yeah. Oh, here's a saw. I'm going to see if this video. I want to see what happens to this poor saw. I guess he goes over it. Oh, careful. Don't you hit that saw, buddy. Oh shit. Okay, got it. Yeah. and the other one is Stardew Valley for the iOS devices currently, but soon Android as well. So watch for that.
Right. The EOS devices.
The EOS devices, correct. All right. I forget how we call Dan. Dan, what do we do? Skype.
You open a window and yell.
Yeah, that's what it is. Seems like it didn't work very well last time. Okay, I think it's Skype because last time Yeah. Didn't we call you on Skype, Dan? Dan, are you in there? It's dumb to ask him while we're on delay, but all right. Dan, the tabletop man, is on his way. I'll call him on Skype. Raise the roof. Hey, whoa. Hey, it's Dan, the tabletop man. What's going on there, buddy boy?
You didn't expect to see such an ugly man this time of night.
No, my gosh. This is, you know what it is? That daylight savings, dude, with the freaking everything getting dark too early. Do you hate it or how do you feel about that?
Actually, I'm kind of a, I'm very non-traditional because I actually am fine with this. I know like all the times are kind of the same and it changes, but I want my winters cold and I want my summers hot. So I want my winters to get dark as early as hell so that it's ready to get to bed and I can get up early and the sun's up. So I'm fine with daylight savings over here. I know it's a very unpopular opinion, but I'm fine with it.
All right. Well, you're just an easygoing dude. Now,
but being fine with it is different than, you know, than loving it.
Right. Right.
You know, right. Like, oh, my God, I love daylight savings. I love that getting used to that different time change.
Right.
Being fine with it is like, whatever, it can happen. You'd be fine with it if it didn't exist, right?
Yeah, exactly. Either way, okay. It totally all still right. screws me up okay. for a few all weeks right. anyway.
It's what my grandma calls. My grandma calls it agreeable. You're very agreeable.
Right. Amenable.
Yeah. Sure. Yep. Amenable. That works as well. Dan, okay. Pharmaceutical question to start. Is she ready for this?
All right, we got a pharmacy question. Dan, I got a beer for you, too.
Oh, geez. All right. Here's my question. Prop 3 here in Salt Lake City or in Utah passed during the election. That particular proposition was to legalize medical marijuana in Utah, which is, for us, a enormous step because normally we're the last ever to allow such things. Our liquor laws are weird. Everything's weird here, okay?
That, you guys have blue laws? Is there like nothing on Sunday with the liquor laws?
I can't remember. I think it's there's no dry counties
asking,
or anything.
I'm asking a guy who doesn't drink what they'll drink.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. I'm like the last guy to ask. But I don't
remember when I went there. When I went there in the 90s, when I was, you know, visiting the Deseret News, I did have to join a club to have a drink on a.
That's
on a
changed. Saturday. That's all gone now. Thank goodness. Yeah, no more of that. Thank goodness. Yeah, that was stupid, and we all knew it. And they got rid of that part of the law, so now you don't have to do that. But there are like dry, that's right. So chat room confirms, I think because it's a state liquor, provider. So you go to state liquor stores is where you get your stuff. Yeah. They don't sell on Sundays. So they do have, they are closed on Sundays.
So the liquor, yeah, we have ABC stores in North Carolina too, the Alcohol and Beverage Commission. So you have to go there for like your other liquor, but you can get, wine and beer and regular, you know, grocery stores, but, you have to get the hard liquor in the ABC stores. And I'm pretty sure they're closed on Sundays, but you can still like buy it. You just have to wait till 11 a.m. to buy alcohol in the grocery stores around it. It used to be noon, but all the people were lobbying about how much money, you know, they can't have your mimosas until noon. Mm-hmm. So there was like, they did a whole big study as how much money they were losing all these restaurants. So they were like, all right, 11 is okay. So weird.
Well, here they same thing. Go to Smith's on a Sunday and get all the beer and wine you want. But if you want the hard stuff, you gotta go there on Saturday and have your life be in jeopardy because those are skeezy places. Anyway, we had to go there once to get some vodka because Carter made
Panela vodka.
I don't know, but it was like she was making vanilla extract, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And I guess that for that or something. I don't know how it worked, but she had to go in there.
Vanilla beans and vodka, and you cook the alcohol out of the.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was really good vanilla, by the way. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But getting in there and out of there was a little skeezy, and they went in with us, and it was just weird.
Because ours around here are like the nicest places ever. Like you're under surveillance when you get in there. So they're very clean. They're very upscale, all the ABC stores.
Yeah. Chatroom says I can't get wine in local grocery stores. I know that's not true because there's one up the road that has it. Unless that's just cooking wine and I'm stupid. It's entirely possible. But you could get jacked on cooking wine, couldn't you? Right? Just
very low alcohol, I think. I don't think. I mean, it would take you a lot of it, and you'd probably get more sick than drunk.
Yeah, good point. All right, so Dan, here you go. You ready for this? I got a prepackaged question for you. Now that it's passed here, and there'll be stuff in the works to make this happen, will it be folks like you at our local trusted pharmacies that will go to get prescribed marijuana in whatever format that takes? Because it's still not the law does specifically says you can't smoke it, you just get it all the other ways you can get it, Right. Like oil and edibles and pill form, something, this and that.
So they're not going to have dispensaries out there in Utah?
I don't know. They're not, since it's not, the way the dispensaries worked when it was just medical in California, for example, you had a card and then there was a place you would go.
Right.
And they would give you the stuff. Maybe they will, and I just don't know enough about the law to know. But if they don't, is it on the pharmaceutical industry to keep us stocked in our weed?
Well, it depends on what. See, that now the FDA is going to have to respond to like all these, you know, all the different states getting things legalized. And the new big thing is that, what is it, the BSD oil, I think is what it's called. I think it's BSD or whatever. It's the type of basically the marijuana oil that is, I mean, it is
CBD
amazing.
Oil. CBD oil.
Yeah. So the CBD oil is, it's amazing what you can heal, or not necessarily heal, but treat with that stuff. It's, I mean, the pain that goes away with the oil. So that's going to have to really get some studies going, and there's going to have to be some companies that are going to be putting that out. Cause right now, I don't think it's highly regulated yet. Cause my wife works at a compounding pharmacy, and that's kind of one of the next step is everyone's trying to get on board and be the, you know, being a cutting edge. Cause I mean, there's a lot of money in that stuff, and plus it works.
Yeah.
So when you get into CBD oil, as far as you know, the foodstuffs or the ingredients for that, I have no idea. It's all so new that I just don't think everybody's kind of caught up. Also, I don't own my own store, and I'm not in a lot of the retail. I'm kind of more mail order. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that stuff, I think it's just so new that who knows? I mean, when it comes to things like dispensaries and stuff like that, that's becoming a big business. I would love to just open up my own medical marijuana and just ride it to the sunset.
Miracle marijuana.
Yeah. It would be Miracle Marijuana. That would be a great name for a store. Miracle Marijuana.
That's a name for the store. Miracle Marijuana.
Yeah, it's not bad. Now,
Max's Miracle Marijuana.
Have you ever had anybody show up at where you are, whether you were front-facing in a retail space or otherwise, and just demand things like this, even though it was illegal? Like, has anyone ever walked in and gone, I need some weed, or, you know, like... They think you guys are
I'm
like
here
a drug
for
store.
My hit, please.
No, but there's actually been a capsule available for a long time. It's called Marinol, which is basically, you know, marijuana in a capsule. It's a little different, but that's basically, it's dronabinol. So it's a little different, but it does work for appetite and some nausea and things like that. Mm. I've had a guy before that came in and he's like, I need my dronabinol. I want my marijuana capsules. And I'm like, dude, you haven't been here in 3 years. There's no way we have anything active for you.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, is it synthetic?
Is it fake and synthetic, or is it extracted
from
the plant?
I'm assuming it's got to be, since it's, you know, manufactured and it's FDA certified and everything. It's a schedule, I think it's a schedule 3 or schedule 4 narcotic. So I mean, it's a controlled substance.
Right.
So I mean, it's got to be. I'm assuming that it probably comes straight from the plant if it's that's kind of where it's derived from.
Yeah, the synthetic stuff that you always hear about is what do they call it, spice or whatever on the street. But anyway. That's the stuff that's real bad for you. People are like dropping like flies left and right from that stuff.
But they do call the compounding places quite a bit still for that CBD oil and for a lot of different things as to when they'll be able to get it. And it's, you know, the regulations are still so new as actually, and it's kind of funny. So there's hemp doggy treats. My dog is a psychopath. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, she's a little dog. She's a Yorkie poo. Yeah. They're the worst. We give her hemp treat to try and help her out. She's the worst.
That sounds like a pet name for your wife. Oh, good
oh,
little
Yorkie poo.
Poo.
Or, you know, it sounds like a thing your Yorkie does is poo. That's what it sounds
right.
like.
Right, yeah. Oh, no. So you get, I think Yorkies are kind of normal, but when you throw that poodle in there, forget it.
Yeah.
It makes them crazy.
Yeah.
So she's either like 1 second, she's so calm sitting on your lap. The next second, she hears something outside and just ready to tear your foot off. I'm like, I'm not the one making noise. That's outside.
Yeah. We have that with our Italian Greyhound / Min Pin combo. Rainer is like this. I can be cuddling with her and she's chilling and she's just laying her little head on me and will lick my chin. And then the minute like there's a sound the mailman makes 50 yards out the front door, she just turns all stiff. Starts freaking out like the world depends on it. I don't get it. Well, anyway.
That's wonderful at 3 a.m. when they hear a random
It's a great time. All right. Well, the other thing Dan does when he comes on the show is he recommends fun times for the weekend. And Dan always has a tabletop recommendation. Dan, what are we talking about this week?
Well, first, let me give Ibbot a beer recommendation.
Ooh,
I wish cool. I would have realized that earlier that you were a big beer guy. This is Raleigh Brewing.
Ibbot, I'm a big guy who drinks beer, but yeah. I'm not a big beer guy.
Yeah, he's kind of a you like it. I mean, you'll go to the testing and tasting, and you know.
I will. Yeah, I'll drink beer occasionally. I'm more of a cider and a hard liquor guy.
Yeah.
But
well, just
but
since you enjoy
give me a recommendation, I will drink it.
Yeah.
So this is a big squeeze. This is first squeeze. This is from Raleigh Brewing. It's basically the blood orange. It's kind of like a blood orange wheat. It's really good.
That sounds terrible. Everything you just
said. What's it called?
It's called First Squeeze by Raleigh Brewing.
All right.
It's American wheat ale with blood orange. See, I had a couple of beers that I've been saving up in the fridge, but it's been so long since I've been on that I just broke down and drank them.
So can you get that at can you get that anywhere? Is it nationally?
Well, the way craft beer goes, they're kind of sprinkled a little bit everywhere. Mm. You know, places like this. So you have North Carolina is a really up and coming craft beer area. Mm-hmm. Asheville has a lot more craft beer than Raleigh does, but Raleigh and Apex and Carrier are starting to get a lot more. I mean, pretty much everywhere around the United States, it's such a huge thing now with craft beer coming up everywhere.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
You never know where you'll be able to get it if it gets a little more popular. This is kind of a smaller one, so you might not be able to get this all over the place. Not like that Stone. I think I tweeted you a bit about the Stone Brewing. That was a tangerine IPA, which was really tasty.
Yeah, tangerine.
That one, I'm pretty sure you guys can get out there.
Just a quick note. People are always surprised by this, given, again, we've had our weird liquor laws here, but small breweries and like microbreweries, that kind of stuff, craft beer, huge in Salt Lake City.
Gigantic. Oh, that's awesome.
It's almost like it's born out of rebellion, and that's why it's so good, because some of it's like, not your grandpa's beer, or screw authority beer, you know, things like that. It's not really a name, but it reminds me of that. Anyway,
you name it, it'll probably be a beer. You know, they got Arrogant Bastard and all those other beers.
Yeah, it's definitely stuff like that.
We saw Arrogant Bastard in the film that we just watched for FilmSec, Cabin Fever.
That's right.
Featured nice. Arrogant Bastard.
Yeah, that movie sucked. Dan,
you've been in this big space kick, and you kind of asked me about terraforming Mars on Steam.
Yeah,
it's really good. I know it's one of these things that'll kind of remind you a little bit of Diablo, how everybody was like, I want more, I want more, I want more. You get a little more, and they're like, F you, I didn't want that, Diablo. That's kind of what Terraforming Mars is like, because everyone's like, oh, I can't wait to get it. Got to get it on Steam. It's on Steam. And they're like, F you, you don't have this mode. I'm like, oh, come on. Just the game is really good. The tutorial is amazing. It is a Euro game. It's a little heavier, so you got to go through all the tutorials. It doesn't take very long. Each one of those, I think there's like four or five tutorials. They take a few minutes each, and then the game is really good. You can play it solo. There's a solo mode, or you can play it solo against like three or four bots. Mm. And they're kind of a little bit different because that's kind of the way the game mode is. And you can play it online. I think most of the bugs are, like a lot of games that come out on Steam, there are bugs. And I think the bugs are mostly in kind of connecting peer-to-peer with other people and then kind of the way the card interactions are. I've played it a bunch of times. I've only found one card that didn't work, but they've been patching it pretty much like every week. So that's really good. But it's a solid game. Like I said, it is a heavier, it's a medium to heavy Euro game. It's really good. This was the Geek All-Stars. This was our game of the year a few years ago. It is one of my favorite games out there. I think it's about 20 to 25. I think 20 is a good range, good price for this game. But it is a really, really fun game. They're going to add the big mode that everybody wanted was each round you're going to get four cards and you decide which cards to keep. Now, that kind of brings the whole tactical versus strategic. Now, strategic, you're going to have the long-term strategic options and then the short-term tactical options. So when you get four cards, you get to decide what to keep, and you pay for those cards. There's a quote-unquote draft mode where you take the four cards, you pick one, and you pass the other one to the left to that player, and then they draft one, and you get their cards and so on. So people really want that because they feel like it's a little more control over it. To me, whatever. The whole part of the game is kind of turning on a dime sometime to make your decisions worth it and to actually go with the flow to make sure sometimes you got to turn and do that for your whole strategy. But anyway, Terraforming Mars, I highly recommend it. You may want to wait till the price comes down, and if it is 25, but I really do think this is a good one. But the good thing is, at least you just had BlizzCon, so you got a few games to keep you
There's plenty to be thinking about
for a while.
Plus, I've been, there's tons of games I want to be playing right now, but I'm always interested in space-based games, no matter what their form is. If it's like playing Freelancer and running around doing missions and mining asteroids and selling those and, doing mercenary missions and all that, or if it's a game more like this where it's like resource management and trying to, kind of civilization up some sort of space thing. Like, I love that
engine
stuff.
Building, tableau building. Exactly. Yeah. Just like that.
Where you're I love that. So obviously you like the tabletop because you played it and you gave it game of the year that year. Would you, at this stage, even though it's missing a mode or two, would you say the video game version is good enough? for people.
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, it's a great way to get that fix. So like when you, if you can't get to a game night all the time and you just want to get your fix, the AI is, it's not, they have different levels. There's a, I think it's an easy, medium, and hard. I just played on medium and I lose sometimes too. So I mean, that's, if it's good enough to beat me, then it's a good enough challenge to play the game.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a good way to knock out a game to get your, to get your Euro game fix.
All right.
So it's really good. I got a really quick one for you.
Yeah.
All right. So Scott, you like the Warhammer.
I love the Warhammer.
You love the Warhammer and you love CCGs.
I love now, CCGs. I love Warhammer.
Now, this is a trading card game. It's also an app. So this is my app slappy for you.
Whoa.
It's called Warhammer Age of Sigmar.
Oh, it's, I have this. Yeah, I'm I downloaded it, but I haven't played it yet. What do you tell me about it?
So I don't know if you remember the game that came out probably a year or two ago. It's called Lightseekers. It was kind of a little more kiddie, but they had these cards that kind of they turn. Mm. So it uses the same engine. It's the same company. It's by what the heck is his name? It's like PlayForge, PlayFusion. So when the cards come in, they kind of after a turn, after one turn they'll turn like that, and then they'll turn, and depending on what's faced up, that's what damage they'll do or their heal. So it's really easy. Like I think the biggest problem with CCGs is once you get in on the ground floor, they're a lot of fun. And then all of a sudden everybody goes crazy buying all these cards and getting all these strategies. And you're like, I'm out. Mm-hmm. Too much. Mm-hmm. This is another one of those really easy games. It's lane combat. There's four lanes. You get two actions a turn. Mm. And you only draw cards if you use an action to draw cards. Mm. So you're playing cards into different lanes. The heroes also have four different things on them. Like you see there, they've got four different things. So when you play a certain action, your hero actually rotates. And once it gets through everything, there's a blessing. You shuffle up your blessings in your deck and they're face down below each hero. So when your champion rotates all around, you get a blessing, which is a big buff in the middle of combat.
Mm.
And you're basically just trying to play combat. You'll cast things out there. They'll be different. Your champions also have a certain amount of points that you can do in your deck. So you can't just have four bombs out there because it's going to be too expensive. You only get like 30, I think it's 20 points to put your champions out there. So you have to kind of give and take the good ones versus the other ones. Your deck can only have 30 cards, so it's not really a lot. And you just kind of go. You get your two actions, and they get their two actions, and you're just kind of going back and forth. It's almost like self-builds in an ease of play because of the way that the rules are. The app is really good because you can play against the AI. And what's also cool is when you buy your cards, this is something you were talking about, I think, with Dunaway a while. This was their kind of, you can scan. See how there's little bubbles around the outside of that card?
Yeah.
You scan those cards and you get it in the app.
What?
I think the app starts off with certain things.
That is cool.
It's amazing. It works really, really well. You also have some cards that, like, if you, there's a thing where you can share this when you get a booster, there's a thing that you can share with people and they scan it and you'll get points and stuff like that to cause you're, you know, basically spreading the love of the game and you get some points in the app.
Stop somebody from like finding an image of that card online, printing it and then scanning it.
Once one person has scanned it, nobody else can scan that particular card because every card has some sort of unique identifier.
Mm.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. I like that.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I mean, it works actually. I kind of scanned in once we got back from Gen Con. I scanned in some boosters because they gave me all four of the starter decks and they gave me the boosters. I scanned everything in. It worked lickety split. Mm. Nice and easy. I recognized everything, put it right into my collection. But I'm pretty sure, like I said, the app, I think it's free and I think it just gives you all the base things and you could play versus the AI. And that's fun to me. I mean, it's a great toilet game for just playing a game against the AI because. You know,
yeah, I like the toilet games. That's why I'm looking forward to. I'm actually looking forward to playing Diablo Immortal because Diablo on the toilet sounds good to me. I'll never get out of there.
Kind of what I'm expecting. It's going to be Star Doo Doo Valley for me, basically.
Star Doo Doo Valley. I see what you did.
That's when Tina's like, "Are you okay in there?
Yeah, how you doing in there, buddy? Need a lifeline?
My legs have fallen asleep."
Dude, that's happened to me before. I'll admit it.
That's how I know when it's ready to, when I take a break at work, that's how I know it's ready. It's time to go back to work when my legs start falling asleep. Yep.
Yeah.
There it is. 15 minutes.
Done all I can do. Yeah, exactly. Well, this is fantastic as always. Dan, it's always good to have you on. I hope we can make this a more regular thing. You had a lot of hockey going on for the boy, which.
Yeah, we actually won the CCM World Invitational last weekend in Chicago.
Nice.
That was awesome. DJ lit up 9 goals in 7 games.
Yeah.
And we just beat everybody all over the country. We're the number one ranked 07 AA team in the country.
Jeez Louises.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. They've been working. Boys have been working hard. Awesome.
You're already better than the Senators, so well done. Just kidding. I don't know who's bad this year or not. I'm sure.
And as I get out, can I plug my charity events tomorrow?
Plug your event. Plug it.
So tomorrow is the 8th annual Gamers for Cures 24-hour board game marathon to benefit Turner Syndrome Society of the Carolinas. My daughter has Turner Syndrome. We've been doing this for 8 years now. We've raised over $115,000. I'll put some links in the chat room in a bit where we have what's called the wall. We've got 90 board game lots up on the wall. You can actually go online and buy dollar tickets to any of these lots that you want to try and win. People just stuff those ballots worth with dollar tickets, and you can win everything. You don't have to be present to win shipping. You have to pay for shipping if you actually win something on there. We also have a big raffle on there. We play for 24 hours. We have tons of door prizes. If you're in a local area, come out to the Gamers Armory in Cary, North Carolina. And I'll also put a link to the First Giving. Since we are a 501c charity, your donations are all tax-free. You can print out a receipt right there. But we're looking forward to having a great event. Like I said, $115,000 to date, and we're hoping to get another $20,000 this year just on top of that.
That's great. And, you guys kill it so with this thing. It's awesome to watch. Love seeing this. Yeah. Well, absolutely something to support. Stick it in the chat, and we'll make sure we push it there. And maybe offline, you and I will talk about some chances for us to like squeeze out some other promos during TMS during the week or something. Be fun.
Absolutely.
To do that.
Appreciate it. Miss you guys.
Yeah, we miss you too, buddy. Stay out of trouble and play games. We'll see you later. I don't know. That's a terrible way to hang up on somebody.
Play games every day.
Play games every day. All right. We have come to it. We've come to it. Oh, there's a video playing of Terraforming Mars. I should close that. All right, there we go. We're done. Hey, if you want to go vote for today's podcast title, you can do that. Just head on over to frogpants.showbot.tv. And a reminder, today was the day, or I guess last night was the time, where Kim and I made a little little something we call Skim. Scott and Kim, get it?
Skim made little Skim.
Yeah. We put it out there and did a little live stream. We put it up on this feed, actually, for anyone who wanted to check that out. But the goal would be its own feed, obviously. If it's something people like, go check it out. Give us your feedback. Tell us what you think. So far, things have been very thumbs up, and that makes us very happy. We had a great time talking about all kinds of stuff and have big plans for it in the future if people are so interested. And we really have Brian to thank for taking a vacation. Seriously. Like, when you took a vacation, all these years I've been married to Kim, never once had it occurred to me, hey, it might be fun to record something with my wife on a regular basis. Never
That's
even
crazy
thought about
too.
It.
You think that would have come up? Because, I mean, you guys have done stuff before where she's appeared with you on a show. You did a little parenting thing, I think, for or at least as a guest on something.
Yeah,
right?
We were guests on Nicole's show when she had that Geek Parents thing. And then we had she did her cooking thing for a while, and I was sometimes part of that.
Right.
But this is like, it was just such a natural fit. It shocked both of us. We were like, whoa, we could do this. Like, for real. Why aren't we doing this?
I can't wait till Kim goes on vacation and I can come sub in for her.
I love it. That'll be great. You can come on there and we can talk about...
just basically be another, you know, like a 60 MS that week. No. We don't need that.
But anyway, it's super cool and she's great. So I'm very, very happy with how it went. If you're interested in checking it out, frogpants.com has a blog post with a link to all of it. You can catch it on the TMS feed. And it's on YouTube, and it will have its own feed soon. Also, a reminder that you can support this show and keep it alive over at patreon.com/TMS. And if you're looking for all other links, all other contact details, emails, Twitter accounts, all that stuff, as usual, go to frogpants.com/TMS. And now, Brian, we'll play music.
Yes, sir. This was requested by Jess for her husband, Rick. Oh. Some Leo to brighten your day is what she says. And some Toto for Scott, but not Africa. Oh. Any day is okay, but a Thursday would be the best day because of Wendy. Sorry, had a thing yesterday, but playing it today. Thanks, Brian, says Jess. You remember that Toto made other songs besides Africa. You might not know that, especially this day and age where all you hear is Africa, but they actually had some other great songs, Rosanna and Hold the Line. Well, Hold the Line is what we're going to be playing today. This is by that guy named Leo Moriccioli.
Oh, love him. But yeah.
He's great, but he just goes by Leo because nobody knows how to spell Moriccioli.
Yeah.
This is his version, the metal version of Toto's Hold the Line. Here is Leo.
Oh, it's so good because he does this thing too where he's super, you know, rah, 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 really good metal guy. And at the end of his videos, thank you very much for liking and subscribing to my show. Like, he's just so Netherlands, man.
So true.
It's really great. But anyway, all right, here it is. Hold the Line. We'll be back this weekend with Film Sack. We got some other stuff going on. And on Monday, right back here for TMS. So come on back then and see us, won't you?
Yeah.
That's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys then. Here's your song. Bye. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Why are there so many dead things floating in the elixir of life?